Well, we've passed over. We've crossed into the new. I have a question for you. What are you wearing? What are you wearing? See, this is a year of a new garment for authority and destiny. That's part of the prophetic significance of this year, is that it's a year for authority and destiny. 2011 was a year of taking off. It was a year of transition. We were removing all of the stuff that had clung to us. 2012 is a year of putting on. It's a year of authority. And so how do we make this practical? What does it mean to each of us as individuals of the body of Christ in the kingdom of God? How do we put on the new? I'm going to encourage you to read five times a verse. I'm going to read it once, and then I'm going to tell you how to read it. It's Isaiah 51:16. I have put my words in your mouth and have covered you with the shadow of my hand to establish the heavens, to found the earth, and to say to Zion, you are my people. Now, I'm going to encourage you to take the time today and every day that you need to do it to read Isaiah 51:16. Do it five times. Read it out loud, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So when you read the Word out loud to yourself, it builds faith in your innermost being. Here's what you do, because this is what the Lord is speaking about you. When you read it, I have put my words in Al's mouth. Put your name in there. You have covered Al with the shadow of your hand. Put your name in there. Because he is speaking this verse to you so that you can be used with him who has established the heavens and founded the earth and said to Zion, you are my people. You can be his instrument and his vessel as we move forward. See, this is also a year of decreeing and declaring the good news. As we spoke early on in the start of the year back in last fall, in the Hebraic year 5772, one of the bait words is gospel and good news. So this is a year that each of you is to be preaching. The Lord has put his word in your mouth. It is already in you. If you have been born again more than 10 minutes, you've got the word of God in you, because there was something that stirred you to call upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord says, I have covered you with the shadow of my hand. There is a presence of the Lord that is in you that he desires for you to take wherever you go. The word of God is in you, and his presence covers you, even like an overshadowing that came upon Mary when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and she conceived our Lord. Mary turned around and said to the angel that was speaking to her, let it be to me according to your word. That is the attitude of faith that Father is looking for. Let it be to me according to your word. See, he's not only the creator, he is the God of covenant. The God of covenant has put his word in you for this new season. He's covered you with the shadow of his presence, so that we can live the life that he intended for us to live. Not the life that the world has said you have to live. He has a higher call, a destiny, a hope, and a future for you. 2012 is the year of his word and his covering. That's the year that we're in, the year of his word and his covering. It's a year that we're going to see a shift in administrations. That's what happened last Friday evening at Passover, and last Saturday we moved into a new administration in the spirit realm. Would it be that it also happens in the natural realm in this nation and many others that have elections this year, that we might get godly men and women into places of authority? So what do we need to move forward this year? Number one, we need a garment of a divine standard. A garment of a divine standard. That's a priestly garment. This is the year of the garment of divine standard. We need to bring back the standard of excellence into the house of God. Many of us have seen that the house of God does not have the standard of excellence that He ordained it to have. Not only do we need to see it in the house, the religion mountain, but we need to see it in all seven of the mountains that mold culture: government, education, media, arts and entertainment, business. Yes, we need it in every one of the seven mountains, family and religion also. We need the divine standard. And if we do not bring back the divine standard, that's up to you and I, not the world. We will start and we will fail. I can only go so far with all of my degrees and all of my education. It is not sufficient for righteousness. It is not sufficient for the success and the destiny that God has for any one of us. This year is the garment of divine standard, and in this context, we need to look at two of the high priests who were given garments. We're going to look at Aaron, and we're going to look at Joshua. The garment for Aaron was made through the instruction of Moses. After the garment was made, Moses brought Aaron, the high priest, and placed the garment of the standard of God upon Aaron. This is the way that he was to minister, and we're going to look briefly at that. Aaron's garment is defined in Exodus chapter 28, and in verse 2 it says in the Amplified Bible, "And you shall make for Aaron your brother sacred garments, appointed official dress, set apart for special holy service, for honor and for beauty." The Lord told Moses that the first thing that he needed to do after building the tabernacle was to make a garment for honor and for beauty for the high priest, because God wanted to set the high priest apart. He said, "I want to establish a standard of excellence in my house, in my tabernacle." In Isaiah 61, verse 10, he calls it the garment of anointing for honor and beauty. The priestly garment is a garment of anointing for honor and for beauty. He said, "I don't want just anybody to walk in and do anything, worshiping me the way that they please." You remember what happened to Nadab and Abihu, who thought that they could offer whatever incense they wanted? They got fried. God was setting a holy standard for what it took to truly worship Him. Because this high priest from among all of the covenant people of Israel will enter into the presence of the Lord once a year, he had to be clothed in a garment of authority. The garment of authority is the garment of identity. You have authority because of who you are in Christ, but most of us don't recognize who we are in Christ. You are a king. That's gender neutral. You are a king. If you're a daughter or a son of the Most High God, you are a king ruling and reigning with Him from heavenly places in the earth. This garment of identity was for worship, as we see in Exodus 28, verses 12 and 29. It says, "Entering, they carry in the 12 tribes of Israel over his heart and on his shoulders." So this priestly garment had an ephod and a breastplate. And that breastplate had 12 precious stones representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel. This year, wherever the Lord has positioned each of us, whatever garment of authority God has given to you, this is a year that you cannot afford to forget to carry the generations on your heart with you. It is not by coincidence that we're seeing so many births this year, because God is interested. This is the year of the Father, and He's interested in fatherhood, and He's interested in the generations, and He does not want us to come into His presence without carrying the generations upon our heart, just like the high priest had to do. When the high priest carried the blood once a year into the Holy of Holies to sprinkle the blood onto the mercy seat, he carried each of the 12 tribes, all of the generations of Israel, he carried in remembrance unto the presence of the Most High God. When the priest lifted up his eyes, all he could see was the glory and the awesomeness of God. That's the desire of my heart, is to see his glory. When the priest was standing in the presence of God by his great mercy, because of the blood that was in his hands, he was not carrying his title high priest. This is not a year that you can carry any titles. All of our titles are worthless. They are a stench in Father's nostrils. He is looking for those who will wear their priestly garment to come into his presence. This is the year of the generations. He's looking for those who will wear their priestly garment and carry the generations in remembrance before him. When you enter into the presence of God, what are you carrying? What is your burden? Where is your heart? What is on your shoulders? He's given us a pattern of what pleases him. This garment was to be a garment of blessing, for declaring the blessings and the teaching of the word. So when Aaron had this garment on, it was to bless. Once the high priest presented the blood, he begins to worship and he backs out of the presence of the Lord. He never turns his back on the presence. Once he's done all of this, he has something for the generations. That is why the high priest could bless them. That is why Moses was given an instruction by God to tell Aaron in Numbers 26 how to bless the sons and daughters of Israel. The high priest can lift up his hands because he was in the presence of God and he was carrying the generations. Whatever he carried before God was now anointed to be released back upon the generations. You know, if I only go once before the Lord for my son and my daughter and our grandchildren, I don't have much of spiritual anointing and authority to release over them and to speak into their lives. The word says, I have put my word in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand. I have created the heavens and the earth. Who says to Zion, you are mine? That's Isaiah 61 that we read. That's who God has made you to be. The high priest carried the blessing of God to the people. And that is what makes each of us a true prophet. Entering into the presence of God, seeing him as he is, backing out with his message, and then it is not for us. We've got to get over that. Feed me, feed me, feed me. It's for the generations. Because what we are carrying on our heart once we leave his presence is for the generations. 26 and a half years ago, the Lord told me that he was going to give me a vision for a generation yet to be born. I thought it was for our grandchildren. They're born. Does that mean the vision is stopped? No, it means now it's got to be elongated for a generation that has not yet been born. That is where Father's heart is. The high priest then carried the blessing of God to the people and released it over them. Aaron's garment was a garment of standard for holiness. In Exodus 29:29, we read that every high priest was anointed wearing that same garment. Until the temple fell, every high priest wore that same priestly garment to get anointed in. Do you see the generational increase of anointing? Anointed for Aaron, anointed for Eleazar, anointed for each of the high priests, anointing upon anointing upon anointing. The principle of God's word is that his blessing and his anointing exponentially increases from generation to generation when we honor him. The converse is that the curse exponentially increases when we dishonor him. After Aaron died, another priest came and another priest came and another priest came. So where did you get your garment? And whose anointing is it carrying? I don't want the garment I had in the last season. What kind of garment are you passing on to the next season, the next generation? And what kind of anointing is that garment carrying? These are issues Father is dealing with in the body of Christ this year. This is not a season in which everyone will go out and buy their own garment. Oh, I can go to divinity school, or I can go to a seminary, or I can go do this, or I can go get this piece of paper, or I can go do that, or I can go lavish myself with all kinds of oil. No, that's happened in the past. Father is not honoring that. This is a season to hear divine instructions, the divine blueprint, and to wear the divine garment to establish the standard of excellence. One of the problems with our nation is there is no standard. Moral relevance comes from the pit of hell. It does not come from the throne of God. He has a standard he has called us to walk in. And you will not be salt and light if you try to compromise his standard with the ways of the world. Even though the high priest was wearing this divine garment of standard, the people said, oh no, we don't want this. Remember the people rebelled? They started worshiping idols even before Moses came down with the laws from God. They said, the Lord said, okay, even though Aaron was soaked in all of the anointing, the Lord said, I'm going to give the enemy access into my temple. Do you hear that? God allowed the enemy access into his temple. The enemy came and destroyed the temple, and he burned it down. And when they burned it down, they burned down that high priestly garment that had been used generation after generation after generation. It probably went up quick because it had all that anointing oil on it. Can you envision this? The garment of the divine standard that has been anointed for at least 14 generations. All of the anointing that the Lord had on it, he gave to his enemies. He gave that divine standard garment over into the hand of his enemies. And they destroyed it in fire. He did this because the people of God refused to respond to the voice of God. But God is merciful. That's the garment of Aaron. Now, Joshua also had the high priest's garment. I'm not talking about Joshua who went into the promised land. I'm talking about Joshua from the book of Zechariah. The high priestly garment that Joshua wore was not made by the hands of men like Aaron's was. Joshua's garment was made in heaven. That's the garment Father has for you. Get ready for the garment of heaven. He does not want us wearing the garments made by man. He wants us mantled with the garments made by his hand. This is the hour for the garment of heaven. It's not made on earth. It has a tag on it that said, by the hand of God. It has no laundering instructions. You can tell the counterfeit from the real. The angel of the Lord was the one who mantled Joshua the high priest, not a man. When Israel was in captivity, the Lord prepared the way for them and said, go back and rebuild the temple, and I will fill it with my glory. In fact, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. You know there's a greater glory coming? When he says we're moving from glory to glory to glory, he's not talking about we're moving from glory to a little bit of glory to a little bit of glory. We're moving in a crescendo of glory, from glory to glory to glory, till his glory covers the whole earth as the waters of the sea. Joshua the high priest came back with the remnant. You are part of the remnant. Most of those who attend Shepherd's Heart and fellowships like ours are part of a remnant that are pressing in to see the things of the kingdom of God be established in the earth. To see his kingdom, not church, prevail and pervade every aspect of life. One day Joshua was standing before the Lord, and the enemy came and stood beside Joshua. How many of you know that he didn't come to stand beside Joshua to encourage him? When has the enemy encouraged you? He came and he said, "Who do you think you are? Do you think you're a high priest? Why, that garment has been consumed. It's been burned. You can't be a high priest. It violates God's word if you don't have that on." Isn't that the way the accuser works? Do you think you're going to build the temple, Joshua? And do you think if you build it, God would fill with his glory what you build? Isn't that the type of slander and attacks that Nehemiah got when he was rebuilding the gates, and Ezra when they were rebuilding the temple? The enemy goes on and says, "In fact, I heard the word that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former, but you don't even have the right garment. How can you build something better when you're walking in filthy rags?" The enemy was attacking Joshua's identity. The Antichrist does two things, and this is not my message, but it fits here. He denies the deity of Christ, and he attacks your identity in Christ. That's exactly what he was doing here to Joshua. He was attacking his identity. As Joshua was standing there, something happened. In Zechariah chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, we read that, "Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Take off his filthy clothes.' Then he said to Joshua, 'See, I have taken away your sin. I will put rich garments on you.'" Now here's the message of the Lord for you. First, Joshua did not respond to the enemy. You don't have to respond when the enemy whispers to you until the Lord gives you what to say. Joshua did not say anything because he knew right where it came from. That's why we need to be persistent in our passionate pursuit of the Lord, so we know his voice and can discern that all else is not him. It was not Joshua's fault, although he was being accused as though it were. The fact that Joshua did not have the right garment was not his fault at all. Did Joshua burn that garment? No, the enemy did. Joshua did not do anything because that is what he had. He couldn't do anything. The original garment was gone, destroyed, burned by the enemy. Now Joshua was just obeying the Lord in his presence. Do not look back. God has something special for you in the new. That old garment should have been left on the bank when you passed over last Friday evening or last Saturday. That old garment is on the other side. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. Each of us has gone through stuff. It doesn't matter. You leave that stuff behind. It doesn't matter what happened to you in the past, what people did to you in the past, what your parents did to you in the past, what authorities did to you in the past. It's past. Are you dead in Christ? Did you die to self to become alive in Christ? Then all that old stuff is dead, right? And we have to leave it in the grave. It doesn't matter the hardships that we've gone through in the past. It doesn't matter what you think you may have lost. God has something special for you. The first high priestly garment was made by Moses in the desert. The new garment was made by God in heaven. I think I'll take the new. Here's what happened to Joshua. Now hear me carefully, because this is important for us as the body of Christ at where we are in time. God is doing things in time. He is releasing new mantles. This was written well before the word was spoken last week at Passover, that he is giving us new mantles. This is what he's doing in this year for those who have ears to hear. Rebuking the enemy without standing in the presence of God is not going to do anything. I know people who will not worship the Lord, but they will rebuke the devil every time they get a chance. You have to come into the presence of the Lord and stand in his presence. You need to know where you are standing. If you are in the presence of God, if you are in the place of glory, then it does not matter what you are wearing. What was Joshua wearing? Filthy rags. But he was in the presence of the Most High God. It didn't matter what his clothes were. There was a time when I had to wear a suit and tie if I were going to go to church. It was required by a religious spirit. I enjoy wearing a suit and tie because my wife likes looking at me when I wear a suit and tie. Don't ask me to wear one on the 4th of July or in the summer. But to require someone to wear something to be holy is bondage. See, if you're in the presence of God, it doesn't matter what you're wearing because he has already covered you. You can't come into his presence without him covering you. He has already forgiven you. Joshua wasn't begging and pleading when he was in his presence. He may have done that repenting and that reproving before, but when the presence of the Lord, he stood there. The enemy was saying, you're disqualified because you have a filthy garment, but the Lord was saying, he is the great high priest. See, Joshua stood there and did not say anything because he knew who he was. We need to know who we are. You are a son, you are a daughter of the Most High God. You have the signet ring of God in your heart, on your lips, and in your hands to do mighty exploits. That's who you are. Joshua knew who he was. The Lord said, this is not about Joshua, Satan. This is about me. It was all about God. Number one, he rebuked the enemy. The Lord became Joshua's defender. Joshua did not defend himself. The Lord rebuked Satan. So don't try to defend yourself this season. Be balanced. When the enemy accuses you, know that your defender is greater than your enemy. He has never lost a single case. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the best lawyer you can find. Isn't his name Counselor? He is the best defender you can find. See, you need to know where you're standing, because if you're in presence, in his presence, he is big enough and he is great enough to defend you. Don't live for your name. Albert won't get me into heaven. Albert won't get me into my destiny. Jesus will get me every place he needs me to be. Number two, the Lord removed his filthy garment. The Lord closed the door to the accuser. He was accusing Joshua of his garments. The Lord will always close the door that your accuser is accusing you on. Just came to my mind that you need to remember Isaiah 54:17 in the latter half of the verse. You will condemn every tongue that riles against you in accusation, because it is your privilege from God. The Lord did not tell Joshua to take off his garment. He said, I can help you take it off. I have tried to help myself too many times. Have you ever tried to dig a hole in sand? And once you got deep enough, you tried to get out, but the more you dug, the deeper you got? That's what happens when we try to help ourselves without seeking the Lord. Some of the things that you've gone through, you cannot take off. Jesus will take it off for you. When he went to the cross, he took everything that separated you from the holiness of God. He will remove it from your spirit. He will remove it from your emotions. He will remove it from your soul so that your spirit and soul can be free to mature in him. Jesus is ready to remove it from you. He said, remove these filthy garments from his life because that is not who Joshua is. I know who he is. God knows who you are, and he's ready to remove your filthy garments. The Lord was closing the door to the enemy. When the Lord removed the filthy garments, he was not saying, I'm accepting you, Joshua. Joshua had already been accepted, or he would not be in the presence of the Lord. By the blood of the Lamb, you have already been accepted. You are already in his presence. No, the Lord was closing the door to the accuser of the brethren. The enemy would no longer have access to accuse Joshua through the garments. And as many times as I need to go before the Lord for him to close the door, I will go before the Lord for him to close the door to my accuser. In essence, the Lord was saying, I am not only forgiving you, Joshua, I am giving you a new garment so that I can close the door to the accuser. Are you ready for your new garment made in heaven? Number three, he put a new turban on Joshua's head. The Lord renewed Joshua's mind. In Romans 12, verse 2, we're told to be renewed by the renewing of our minds. Even though I have clothed you with a new and heaven-made garment, Joshua, if your thinking is not going to change, it will not make any difference what you're wearing. That's what repentance is all about, a change in the way that we think and acting in a new way. He said, therefore, I'm going to need to align you with my thinking. In this season, the Lord is aligning us with his thinking. I'm going to put my heart in you, and I'm going to give you my mind. Do we have the mind of Christ? And do we have the heart of God? That's what he's given us to enter into this new season. This is a year in which God is shifting our thinking so that we can align our thinking with him. This is the year when God wants us to see as he sees. Prophetically, most of the seers in the Old Testament that are recorded as prophetic voices, he said to them, what do you see? And then they explained what they saw. This is very important because the Lord said, Joshua, let me tell you something. How many of us are willing to let the Lord tell us something? In the past, we haven't been. Well, I'll get it from the nightly news. We know where that will take you. The Lord said to Joshua, let me tell you something because I have changed your garment. Now let me show you how I am going to use you. Are you ready to be used new in this next season? In the past, the high priest was confined to the tent of meeting. This time, I'm actually going to use you in my court. Do you see the shift? With the heavenly garment, we don't have to be only in the tent of meeting. We can be out in the court ministering to people. Number four, Father promised to restore Joshua's nation. In Zechariah 3:9, he said, I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. Can the Lord change a nation in a day? Bible says yes. The correct answer is, Lord, you can do whatever you want. He can change a nation in a day. Do I need to fret about where the United States is going? No. Do I need to pray? Yes. I need to touch the heart of Father on behalf of the heathen of this land. Wasn't that what the whole book of Jonah was all about? Would one person touch the heart of God and bring his message? God is looking for his people who are called by his name to humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways so that he can do what he desires to do, relent, hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. God said to Joshua, I am going to use you to bring my court justice. You are ambassadors of the Most High God. If you remember, a few months ago we talked about how we are to adjudicate when we establish our thrones. When you worship, you establish a throne. When the high priest was in the right place, God can move in a single day. The high priest was now clothed with a new garment of authority, and he is bringing justice into the church. We need to rise up and bring justice. The transformation of a nation is in the hands of the body of Christ, not politicians. If we want to see our nation transformed, heaven on earth, his will on earth as it is in heaven, it is up to us, not the government, not the education system, not the media. There's only one body, the ecclesia, he's called to do that. In one day, he can change a nation. He said, because I have put a new garment on you, I can bring reformation, transformation, and a renewal to this covenant people in one day. If he did it in Joshua's day, can he do it in our day? Yes. When the divine standard is established, that priestly garment, the thing that makes you and I unique from all of those around us, Jesus walked in that high priestly garment, and yes, he talked with prostitutes and tax collectors and every other type of sinner. But because he was in his high priestly garment and because you have a high priestly garment, you can walk and minister without being tainted and tempted. You will be tempted, but you don't have to fall. It won't take another 1,000 years. It won't take another 100 days. He said he will do it in a single day. That's acceleration. We are in a season of acceleration. We are in a season of suddenlies where the divine presence of the Lord shows up and what we used to labor at comes suddenly. We read about it from the past. We read about it in the awakenings and we're all excited. We need to get ready because he wants to use you as a vessel of suddenlies. When leaders are in the right place and they have the right garment on, God can transform nations. How many of you have a burden for the United States? If you don't have a burden for the land, you've missed the whole purpose of the scripture that we know as John 3:16. For God so loved the cosmos, all of his creation, that he gave Jesus Christ. And all of that creation is waiting for me and you as sons and daughters of the Most High God. It says that they're crying, groaning, waiting for us to take our authority. The enemy did not accuse Joshua because of his nation. The enemy was not accusing Joshua because of Israel. The enemy accused Joshua because of what he was wearing. The Lord said, what I'm going to do for you is not going to be limited to you, Joshua. Because of you, I'm going to redeem your nation. Because of you and me and the rest of the ecclesia, Father is going to redeem the United States of America. He said, I'm going to remove the sin from your nation in one day. And I'm going to set you, your nation, free in one day. I am anticipating that. I am anxious for it. Then God said to Joshua, "Let me do one more thing for you, Joshua. The enemy has accused you by saying that you are disqualified to be my high priest. So let me give you a double authority." Number five, the Lord placed crowns on Joshua's head. In Zechariah chapter 6, verses 7, it says, verse 11, it says that the Lord gave him full authority. He put crowns, plural, on Joshua's head. Why? Has the enemy ever come to accuse you? Well, at least a couple of us are awake. Because the enemy came to accuse Joshua, God said, "I will give you crowns that you may rule and serve me now, not only in the temple," that was one crown, "but in every aspect of society," that was his other crowns. Every place where you go, you bear a crown. You have a crown for the religion mountain. Those of you in education have a crown for the education mountain. Those of you in business have a crown for the business mountain. He has given you crowns so that you carry his authority wherever you go. Why multiple crowns for one person? The Lord is going to give you authority in every dimension of your life. We need not to be so myopic and think that he's only given me authority in this one little thing that I studied and got my degree in. Do you declare your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? Is his kingdom very narrow? It's everything. And he has crowns for us in that. The Lord gave Joshua authority, and there are crowns that are waiting for you. That's the first garment, the garment of the priest, the garment of standard. We need to get back to the kingdom standard and get off of compromise with the ways of the world. The second garment is the garment of authority and destiny. The first garment was for the high priest, but these garments are for you and me, the common people. The garments of authority and destiny are for all of us. The first one we're going to look at is Joseph's garment. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, we read, "Now Israel loved Joseph, and he made him richly ornamented robe." He made him a richly ornamented robe. Now, it's inaccurately translated as a coat of many colors. It most likely in those days was a long-sleeved robe, could have been many colors. But someone who had a long-sleeved robe was one who had a mantle of authority. His father gave him a richly ornamented long-sleeved robe. Jacob looked at his son Joseph different from his 11 brothers. He looked at Joseph, and as a prophet, Jacob saw something in him that he did not see in his other sons. He said, "Joseph is going to be a leader, therefore he made Joseph that special garment." There's a special garment for you in this new season. If it's been made by your loving father, he has a garment of authority for you. See, Jacob favored Joseph. He loved him, and he said, "I'm going to make him that special garment." Then one day, Jacob called Joseph to himself, and he took that special garment, and he put it on him. We need to be prepared to mantle the next generation with garments of authority. Now watch this, because it's important. When Jacob placed that garment on Joseph, immediately Joseph started dreaming. Did Joseph have dreams recorded in the Bible before his garment of authority? No. You can look it up and see. The dream was already in Joseph, but the anointing wasn't activated until he had the right garment on. He had the garment to dream. In Genesis 37, verse 5, it says, the next day Joseph had a dream. And he had a garment of prophetic destiny. In Genesis 37, 23, it says, so when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe that he was wearing. Joseph could have said, Dad, once you put that garment of destiny on me, once you declared over me who I was, I started to dream again. Dads and moms, you can release your sons and daughters into their destiny in Christ. Not sometime down the road. Shotzi, you were released this morning by a mother in God for your destiny. That was not just some nice word. That was a word from Father releasing you. The stuff of the past is gone. The future is set before you. Once Jacob put that robe on Joseph, he started to dream again. God Almighty declares over each of you who you are because he has put a special garment on you. You didn't just get saved. You got everything heaven had for you. That's what the blood of Christ purchased. You can start dreaming again. Wherever you are, whatever you do, you can dream. Not just little dreams, you can dream the dreams that Father has for you. In Jacob's dream, he saw the future brought into the present. Why could Joseph see his future brought into his present? Because someone loved him enough to mantle him in a garment of his destiny and put it on him. Every time I have the opportunity for our children and our grandchildren, I lay my hands on them and speak their destiny over them. I get to do that again this week. So does Mom. How many of you have your grandchildren? Praise God. See, Father is interested in family. He's interested in all of us bearing sons and daughters for him. Now, here's a challenge for you and me. What are you putting on your children and on your grandchildren so that they can dream their destiny? What are you putting on them so that they are released? Ask Father how to impart to them so that it releases them to dream. I don't care if they're 18 months old. A child will lead them. I've seen little children in the back waving their hands as we're worshiping. I was told that last week a three-year-old was whining at the end of the service because the hallelujahs had stopped. Don't limit your children and grandchildren because of their age. The challenging thing about our generation is that fathers are not discerning. They are not putting the garment of destiny on their children. Therefore, their children carry dreams, but they're afraid to dream because they do not have Father's protection. They do not have the care and the love that releases them to dream that Joseph received when Jacob mantled him with his mantle of destiny. Once Jacob put that garment on Joseph, Joseph looked at him and said, Daddy, why did you do this to me? Jacob, because I love you, Joseph. Why did you do this for me? Because I see what God is preparing for you. Then that night, Joseph may have said, if my father sees, let me see it again. Let me see it for myself. Do you see what God sees for you? Do you see the destiny that he has for you? If you receive prophetic words, go back and look at them because they will reveal a piece of what he has for you and then pursue him in them. Every one of us has some kind of garment on. Who gave you the garment that you're wearing? I'll tell you a garment that was put on me in the sixth grade. I won't tell you by who. It was a math teacher. You are too stupid to be a scientist. that garment is gone.
Yes.
You see the garments people try to put on you?
Yes.
Father has garments for you.
You
need to take off the garments that the world has tried to put on you. If you have the wrong garment, like Saul's garment that he tried to put on David, take it off. David couldn't fight Goliath with the wrong garment on. You can't face the giants the enemy's going to throw in your path with a garment that is not from God. Some garments will kill your anointing. Some garments will release dreams. Know which ones I want? You need to know where your garments come from. Then one day Joseph came to see his brothers. They did not say anything to him. They said, "Let's take his garment off of him." The world will try to take Father's garment off of you. Why? Because this garment is a reminder of his future. Isn't that what his dreams were? They brought the future into the present so he could see where he was going. They were saying, "He's going to be a great leader, and we do not want that." They were jealous of their brother Joseph. "Let's take his garment off of him, because it's more than a garment to dream. It's also his garment of destiny. If he doesn't have that garment, he won't achieve his destiny." The brothers said that, and then they took it away. When they took the garment from Joseph, they did not stop Joseph from being a leader. Taking his garment did not stop him from being a leader. Why? Because Joseph already had started dreaming. Once the Lord causes you to dream, only you can allow the enemy to take that authority and destiny away from you. Once you start dreaming, don't look back. Once you start seeing the vision Father has for you, don't look back. Remember what happened to Lot's wife when she looked back? She became a pillar of salt. When the Lord has placed the right garment on you, and once you start dreaming, no one can take that dream from you. No one. Just like with Joseph, it may take some time for that to play out in the natural, but Father's going to honor what you hold before him in remembrance. What is external cannot make you the person you are meant to be. What comes upon me from the world can't make me to be the person Father meant me to be. What is in you is what is important, and that is what you need to protect. Christ in you is the hope of glory. That is what you need to protect. You don't need to protect your title. You need to protect your character and your anointing. Joseph said to his brothers, "You can take the garment, but you can't take what is in me." Didn't he let him take the garment? "I've already started dreaming, and you can't stop me now. I have a dream, and you cannot stop it. You can take whatever you want. Let them take your garment." Didn't Jesus say, if someone takes the coat off your back, give them your shirt too? Let them take it. They can't take your anointing. They can't take your dream. Protect your dream. Protect your prophetic dream, and do not allow anyone to touch your prophetic dream. When Joseph was on his way to his destiny, and he was working in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife said, "I love you, Joseph, come to bed with me." Joseph said, "No." And she said, "Well, I'm going to take your garment." And she grabbed his loincloth. He said, "You can have that garment. I have my dream." See, he'd already been to the place where his brothers tried to steal, and he let him take the garment. And now the world and perversion was going to try and steal. And he said, "You can have that garment, but you can't have my dream." Joseph was willing to die for the dream that was given him. Why? Because just like Joseph, you cannot fulfill your dream without character. We've talked about that before. When the enemy cannot take away your dream, he comes to destroy your character, to disqualify you. Because your character is your testimony, and you overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. He knows that if he can destroy your character and your testimony, he can walk all over you. Pharaoh's wife came to disqualify Joseph, but he said, "Oh, no, you don't. You can take that garment, but I am willing to pay even the price of going to prison for my dream." Some of you have been to prison for your dreams. How many of you are willing to pay the price so that the Lord can fulfill the dream he's given you? For some of us, it's a dream that touches generations that have not yet been born. Please do not let the enemy deceive you. Pay the price for the dreams Father gives you. If you are a dreamer, the price is reality. Some of you don't dream, but if you're a dreamer, the price will be reality. Your dream does not go on sale. It requires full price for the fulfillment. Every biblical dreamer had to pay the full price to see the fulfillment of their dream in God's time. This is the garment of authority that was on Joseph. He saw his dream fulfilled, and then in Genesis 41, verse 42, we read, "Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen." Joseph saw his dream fulfilled, and he saw the authority that his dream spoke of, and he was clothed in a new garment for that new season, a garment of authority. Now I'm going to do the second garment very quickly because we don't have time to go into that one. The second garment was Ruth's garment. It was a garment of destiny. I'll give you one scripture and let the Lord speak to you out of Ruth 3:3. Ruth washed and perfumed herself and put on her best clothes. She was clothed in her best. She had a garment of destiny that was about to be fulfilled. We don't have time to go into that one. The third one I want to mention is Elisha. Elisha. In 1 Kings 19:19, we read that Elijah went up and threw his cloak around Elisha. Now, Elisha was a comfortable farming dude. He was a more profitable farmer than I was because he had 12 yoke of oxen. He had a big spread. Most people had an ox, or at best, a yoke of ox. But he had 12 yoke of oxen. Elisha was not thinking about being a prophet. He wasn't thinking about doing anything other than tending the farm, inheriting the family business. And then this man of God comes up and throws his mantle over him. Immediately, there is no pause in the scripture. When the garment touched Elisha, he knew what his destiny was all about. It wasn't looking at the back end of the oxen anymore. Elijah's garment was a garment of destiny and preparation. Many of us have been wearing a garment of preparation in this past season. Elisha knew what he had to do to get ready for what God wanted him to do. He didn't fret about it. He didn't worry about it. He didn't lose sleep over it. He simply said to Elijah, "I will follow you." He did not say, "When am I going to start prophesying? When am I going to get honorariums? When am I going to do this? When am I going to see signs, wonders, and miracles?" He didn't say, "When will I be a prophet to the nation like you, Elijah?" Elisha did not say anything. He knew that once Elijah's garment was on him, it didn't matter what he would prophesy. Elisha said, "I will just follow." I will prepare myself. This season, the confusion between the garment of preparation and the garment of authority is going to come to you. Do I stay in that garment of preparation, or do I step into the garment of authority? Without the garment of preparation, you will never receive your garment of authority. But many of you are ready to cross over, like we did last Friday, into that time where we now walk in the garment of authority. Elisha took the garment of preparation, and immediately he started to follow Elijah. For some of you, you are going to be discipling. I'm not afraid of that term. Mentoring, if you want to use that term. Parenting, if you want to use that term. The next generation in their garment of preparation, so that in the fullness of time, they can walk in their garment of authority. Elisha walked in a ministry of serving Elijah. He washed his hands. He washed his feet. On their first journey, Elisha wore the garment of preparation. The garment of preparation is the journey where Elisha got to go to Bethel, a place of revelation. And then he got to go to Jericho, a place of victory. And then he got to go to the Jordan, a place of transition and crossing over. And this whole time, he was wearing the garment of preparation. The preparation will bring you the first time into the place of revelation. Your garment of preparation will bring you to the place of Bethel, the place of your revelation. Without revelation, there is no preparation, because God reveals his purpose and his will to each of us. If I'm not willing to be prepared by him, I won't have the ability to switch that garment of preparation into a garment of authority. Then you will come to a place of victory, your Jericho. Again, you're wearing your garment of preparation. You're being mentored by those whom the Lord has sent to sharpen you. Whatever it is, you will need to face the enemy for your future and your destiny. But the Lord will bring you to that Jericho battleground, and he will give you the victory there in your garment of preparation. Many of you have gone through that phase already. Then your mantle of preparation takes you to the place of transition and crossing over, the place of the Jordan. This is a place of death. See, I can't take my flesh with me, now or ever, in the spirit realm. At the Jordan, God prepares people for you. The rest of the time, he has been preparing you for people, but at the Jordan, he prepares people for you. For the Israelites to cross over, the Lord prepared Joshua, the son of Nun. For Jesus, the Lord prepared John the Baptist. Do you see how he prepared a person for the crossover, both in the Old Testament and in the New? Everyone has their Jordan. Each of us has a Jordan to cross. For Elisha to cross over, the Lord prepared Elijah. On their final journey, they also came to the River Jordan. This is where Elisha transitions from the garment of preparation to the garment of authority. For many of you, unknowingly, last Friday, you came to that place of crossing over, where your garment of preparation was left, and you received your mantle and garment of authority. It says in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 through 14, I'm going to pick some pieces out. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken from you." Then took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. So Elisha asked for a double portion. And he said, "What you asked for, I can't give you." And then he said, but if you see me when I am taken from you, you will have what you asked. What did he get when he was taken from him? A mantle fell off of Elijah, and Elisha picked it up. Elisha asked for the impossible, for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Only the Lord can give that. Elijah said, I can't do this. It's impossible. But Elisha said, I've been being prepared. I know who I am. I know what I'm called to do. I am not expecting what you can do for me. I'm expecting what the Lord can do for me. See, once you've crossed over, how do you look at the things that you have crossed over? You look at them differently. What was a mountain is now flat, level ground. What was a valley is now made smooth. Once you cross over, you don't ask for small things. Oh, Lord, I have a hangnail. Would you please heal it? Lord, there's a spirit of infirmity sitting over the city of Rochester in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say it must go and infirmity must flee. You take the mantle and you walk in the authority that he has given you. Once you cross over, because the garment of preparation has developed your character, you don't ask for the limited stuff that you asked for when your character was being developed. Since you have now crossed over and you've got a new mantle in this season, a mantle of authority, you say, I need a double portion. God is not limited. It is time to let him out of the box. It's time to let Jesus off the cross. It's time to be seated with him in heavenly places. And it's time to not make him too small in our eyes anymore and believe him for the grandiose that brings him glory. I want a double portion of your spirit on me. Elisha said, you know what? Elijah said, you know what? This is impossible. And Elisha said, sir, I know it's impossible that you can't do this for me, but I know my God can do this for me. Where are you looking? Are you still looking to your mentor who mentored you when you were in your garment of preparation? Are you looking to the author and finisher of your faith who has mantled you in the mantle of authority? Elisha was removing the limitations. Your garment of preparation had limitations on it. I do not want to limit my ministry because of what I have seen in you, Elijah. I want my ministry to be as much as Father wants it to be. That is to be our response. Why? Because you've crossed over. Have you crossed over? What kind of questions are you asking God? What is the desire of your heart? Once you've crossed over, you do not ask what everybody else asks. God, give us our daily bread. Yes, that's good. But it's not really good enough for the kingdom of God. We should be saying, Lord, take these two loaves and these five loaves and these five fish and feed the town of Greece. The kingdom of God is not about human need. It's about kingdom budgets. My Bible says that Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. My Bible says that there are resources of the deep that he's giving to those who will ask him for them. When you go to the king, you don't ask him to give you some clothes. No, you ask him to give you a budget for the project that he's assigned to you. He has called you to disciple nations. Isn't that the Great Commission? He has called you to heal the sick, to raise the dead. He's called you to cast out devils. He has a kingdom budget for that. In our mantle of preparation, we asked him for my daily bread. He's asking us now to take the mantle of authority, roll it up, strike the waters, and expect him to do the miraculous. Elijah told Elisha, if you see me when I'm taken from you, you will have what you asked of me. If you do not see me, it will be impossible for you. Why? Because the Lord is coming to take me home. If you see him, he will give it to you. Do you see where his focus needed to be? Off the mentor and onto the creator. Elisha saw him. Elijah is telling Elisha, watch, 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 watch. Do not, if you want a double portion of authority, watch. Do you want to make a difference? Watch. Watch the one who is coming with chariots of fire. And as they were talking, the chariots of fire came. Elijah was gone. And what was Elisha's response? My father, I have seen you. He saw the King of Glory take his prophet home. Before Elisha picked up the garment that came from Elisha had to do something. He had to tear his old garment off. That's what we did in the last season. That's what we did Passover morning. That's what we did right before we crossed over. We tore off the old garment so that now the garment of preparation was gone and we could be fitted with the garment of authority that the Lord has for us. See, this is the challenge that we are going to face as the body of Christ. Boy, I am very comfortable in that old garment of preparation. I'm so secure in it. I know just who I am. I know just where my scope and my sphere is. But in order to wear that garment of authority, I have to take off that comfort zone. I have to take off that mantle of preparation, and I have to be willing to put on the garment of unrestrained authority. See, this was leading up to his second crossing over. Elijah picked up the new garment. He went back to the Jordan. The first time when he went over with Elijah. Now Elisha has to cross over by himself, no longer with his mentor, only by faith. His old garment was gone, and now Elisha comes to the Jordan in his new garment, and there's 50 prophets from the school of the prophets watching. Remember, God prepares a people for you when you're going to cross over. And so now he's got these 50 prophets who were looking for Elijah, but they saw an anointing resting upon Elisha. He rolled up the mantle, he struck the waters, and he crossed over. Now hear me, this is where the confusion comes in. We need to ask the Lord for discernment in this coming season. We need to discern between the garment of preparation and the garment of authority. We need to discern between the title and the character. We need to discern between the anointing and the gift. Authority, character, and gifting all comes from God. The rest we can counterfeit. When Elisha hit the waters, they divided and he crossed over. Those who were watching said, hey, the spirit of Elijah is now resting upon Elisha. Now when he crossed over, he came to the city. The city now came to Elisha and said they were having a problem. Why did they not say they had a problem before? Because they hadn't seen the kind of anointing that they now saw upon Elisha. Elijah did not advertise or brag about his gift. He just came with the double portion. The city people and the school of the prophets recognized the spirit of Elijah that rested on Elisha, And they said to him, can you solve the problem of our society? If you know me, you know where I'm going. Society is waiting to ask you to solve their problems. We're going to see that this year. We spoke it earlier in the year that this year we're going to begin to see the world ask the church for solutions to their problems. While the city was asking for a solution, here's what happened. And this is what we need to watch out for. While the city was asking for the solution, the 50 prophets were saying, let's go find Elijah. Isn't that what they said? Oh, maybe he's over there, or maybe he's over there. And Elisha already knew where he was. He saw God take him. And until they embarrassed him, he would not give them permission to go. And when they embarrassed him, he said, okay, go look for him. And after 3 days, they couldn't find him. So here's the point. Let go of the old things and let the new thing come. These are the same prophets who told Elisha before he went and crossed over with Elijah that the Lord was going to take Elijah from him. They didn't even believe their own prophecy. After 3 days, they came back. They hadn't found anything. But the city was still asking for a solution to their problem. And this is where we need to make the distinction in the season that we've entered into. The authority of God is going to release the body of Christ in this season, not for the church. The Lord is releasing authority in the body of Christ in this season, not for the church, but for society. What we have been praying about in our preparatory times in the past season is coming to pass. There will be power confrontations, darkness and evil, warlocks and kings of God. There will be power confrontations because the enemy doesn't want to give up society. But God's fixed it. He already won. So let's look at both of these guys as we conclude. Both Joseph and Elisha. Joseph, after the anointing, went to the palace to interpret the dream of the king. Elisha, after receiving the double portion, went to the city, and that is what is coming. Father is preparing you and me to go in our gifting and our new mantle of authority to those whom he has prepared for us to minister. For some of you, it will be town supervisors. For some of you, it will be teachers and bus drivers. For some of you, it will be the mayors and the governors. And for some of us, it will be leaders of nations. But he's calling each of us to step out in this new mantle. So I have a question for you. What garment do you have? This is the season for the garment of authority. What does that mean for us? We're going to summarize it in the fourth example. Us. The fourth example of the mantle is us. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our mantle. This is the garment for this hour, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word for this year, Isaiah 61. I have put my words in your mouth. This is the year of his presence. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, my presence. You are in me. And I am in you. Therefore, let's go out. The disciples went out with authority. In Mark 16:20, we read that this is the year of authority and power. The Lord was with them, and he confirmed his word by signs and wonders that accompanied it. Are you ready to be a sign and a wonder when you speak his word? Why did Jesus do this? Because they had his word in their mouth. His presence was with them. Your assignment this week, out loud, at least 5 times, read Isaiah 61:16 and put your name into it. This is the hour of the garment of authority. It's the hour to bring the standard of excellence into the house of God. And it's the season for the garment of authority so that we will know the destiny to live in and solve the problems of our society. He didn't call us to just be foot washers. He called us to be the head and not the tail, to be the lender and not the borrower, to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field, to be blessed when we go out and blessed when we come in. He called us to be a blessing to all of those he sends us to. You have been anointed to solve problems. You have not been anointed for personal entertainment. That season is past. Your authority is to solve the problems of society, and every time God releases authority, it is for a purpose. He is ready to establish his kingdom in the earth through you and me. So I have a question for you. What garment do you have on? Are you ready to let go of the garment of preparation? If you are, stand to your feet, because I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you to receive the garment of standard, the priestly garment of a standard of excellence, so that you don't compromise. I want you to receive the garment of a dreamer, so that you have the ability to see and walk in your destiny. And I want to pray for you for the garment of authority, so that you release the garment of preparation in the fullness of time and walk in the authority that Christ gave you. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you that you have called us to be holy as you are holy, to not be common. And Lord, you have given us a priestly garment and called us to be kings and priests unto you. And I say that they are now no longer clothed in filthy rags, nor clothing of the world, but they are clothed in the high priestly garment that you have made in heaven, so that they can walk according to the standard of excellence of your kingdom. And they will not be tempted beyond what they could bear. But Lord, in the standard of excellence, in the standard of your divine priestly garment, they will stand separated unto you, and the world will taste and see in them that you are good. And Lord, I thank you that you have given each and every one of my brothers and sisters the garment of a dreamer, so that they can see the destiny you have in them. Lord, I release upon them now that garment, that mantle, that they will be mantled to dream the dreams of heaven and not the dreams of man. Lord, I ask that you would give them discernment and discerning of spirits, so they will know where their dreams come from. They will know which ones to grasp onto and which ones to release, and that they will see the dream that is of you, and they will let go every garment the enemy tries to grab hold of, but they will guard their dream. Lord, I thank you that you will be the wall of fire round about my brothers and sisters to protect them from the little foxes that would attempt to steal, to kill, and to destroy the dreams you have given them, that they may transition, Lord, and wear the garment of authority. Lord, I say that the garment of preparation for many of them is finished, and I thank you that you have shown them when they passed over that they are no longer to wear that garment of preparation, but they are to wear the garment of authority. And I thank you, Lord, for those that are mentoring and fathering and mothering the next generation. You will show them how to release their sons and daughters, natural and spiritual, into the fullness of the garment of preparation, that they may mature rapidly and be released for their own garments of authority. And I thank you, Lord, that you have told us that as we passed over into this new season, you had garments of authority for us. Lord, I take off my old mantle now, and I throw it down. Lord, I tear it off that it would never fit upon me again. And I say, Lord, I take up that new mantle of authority and I roll it together with the mantles of the great saints of God of the past. And I say, Lord, let the double portion anointing come upon your sons and your daughters for all that you have called them to do, to walk in fulfillment of your word and propel them to fulfilling their destiny for your glory, your honor, and your praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I love you all. Thank you for enduring. Go forth. roll up your mantle and strike the waters that are before you.